This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1988. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, short and medium wave. On edition 1988, recorded June 27th, Albania, Antarctica, Azerbaijan, Benin, Bhutan, Bolivia, China, Cuba, Denmark, Ecuador, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, France, Germany, Japan, Korea North, Mexico, North America, Paraguay, Solomon Islands, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Albania none. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says about Radio Tirana, a good signal this evening, UT June 22nd, on 9395 via WRMI, starting around 0130 UT for Radio Tirana in English. Extensive news and commentary on the protests taking place in Albania in the run-up to the elections June 30th. Today's organized protest, the ninth one, was peaceful, unlike some previous ones. Seems to be little coverage of current events in Albania in mainstream media in North America, so it will pay to monitor Radio Tirana for news on the latest events in that country. Besides, Radio Tirana is one of the few stations still running an interval signal before and after their program, a throwback to the good old days of shortwave. That's 0130 UT on 9395, except UT Mondays, as Tirana takes Sundays off, conveniently filled in by World of Radio. The annual midwinter special from BBC World Service to the British Antarctic Survey we mentioned last week did occur as planned, Friday, June 21st at 21:30 on 7360 via Ascension, 5875 and 9455 via Wolverton, UK. As you might expect, reception way off in North America was not very good, except for Mick Delmage in Alberta, who made a recording of the program with amazingly good reception, I think, on 9455. Richard Langley also recorded it from New Brunswick, but in the meantime, the BBC has put up a file, an audio file of the program on their website. I'm going to give this rather complicated URL in case you want to go directly to it. www.bbc.co.uk/programmes/W3CSZ4PN. In the British DX Club, Alan Pennington reviews it this way. I hope the 36 staff overwintering at three British Antarctic Survey bases also got good reception. Cerys Matthews, that's C-E-R-Y-S, has a nice clear voice to cut through any interference. It's like eavesdropping on a private celebration of Midwinter's Day with all the family messages, plus other messages including from the Princess Royal Anne and David Attenborough. And it's all skillfully squeezed into 30 minutes by Boffin Media, with the transmitters closing at exactly 2200. Here's an odd station that's not been reported in some time, just well because I haven't the faintest idea how to pronounce it. From Azerbaijan, presumably, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reports an UNID on 9676, narrowband FM mode, June 21st from 0555, with music, weak to fair signal, probably Iktimai Radio, I-C-T-I-M-A-I. Medium wave DXers on the West Coast have been picking up a carrier on 1566 kHz. Just before or around sunrise in Benin, so it's believed to be Transworld Radio in West Africa, an unusual medium-wave path, you would think, propagating all the way across the Atlantic and the landmass of Canada. Here's what Nick Hall Patch in Victoria, B.C., wrote about it on the IRCA group June 25th. It was close, mostly between 0505 and 515 UT. No problem locking the synchronous detector, but still not there yet. The signal has a very rapid and random fading pattern, in the order of a second, with jumps up to 10 dB, so it's impossible to try to use a loop on it for direction finding. From Benin to here, the direct path goes straight through the auroral zone, so it's not surprising it is mangled. The signal averaged over 20 or 30 seconds, varied only about 6 dB in the period 0440 to 0520 UT, but no big longer-term peaks or valleys. It seems to me listeners even closer to Benin in Central or Eastern North America ought to have an even better chance of at least detecting this signal on 1566. Bias, the 12th station in 20th century Bolivia, seems to be inactive most of the time, good news for WRMI, but occasionally shows up on its signature frequency 5952.4, That's where Mark Taylor in Wisconsin heard something, presumably that, and reports to his NASFA flash sheet. June 23rd at midnight 48 in Spanish. Musical bridge of indigenous music. Man and woman announcers. Well, in case you didn't recognize the translated names, it's Emisora Pio XII in Siglo XX Bolivia. Ron Hart in California reports on what's happening on 6035, where we have both a Chinese station and BBS Bhutan. First, as of June 25th, tuned in at 11:06 and heard the FM 99 relay via PBS Yunnan, but expected to hear BBS Bhutan. It was definitely not them, but an anomaly of FM 99 on the air earlier than usual. It was in Chinese, the usual FM format of many short segments of commercials, announcers, and music. It had consistently been noted daily starting up at 11:39 UT. But today by 11:30 it was clearly heard, two stations mixing together BBS and FM 99. There's also a spur from North Korean jammers on 6045, and that started at 11:47, so we couldn't tell when BBS went off the air. If this earlier timing for FM 99 continues, it'll make BBS reception just that much more of a challenge. Maybe this was a one-day event. Well, then, his next report about 6035. On June 27th, the FM 99 relay continued their anomaly for the startup time. For a long time, they seemed to have been on a timer, since it was consistently starting up already in progress programming at 11:39. But as he said on June 25th, they were already broadcasting as early as 11:06. On June 27th, he heard the North Korean jamming spur start at 11:40. Then at 11:45, started up FM 99 in Chinese. It seems they have done away with the timer, and he was unable to make out anything from Bhutan, if they were on the air or not. By the way, FM 99 has a live audio streaming link he provided. And then, slightly up the dial, news about another Chinese station, 6060 Sichuan PBS 2, with a new ID, heard June 27th at 1200, 1230, and 1300. There are no time pips, but multi-language IDs seemed fairly clear for Sichuan Minzu Guangbo, or Sichuan Ethnic Radio, but he's wanting confirmation about this. There was news from Sichuan presuming in ethnic languages parallel to 7225. It's long been obvious that the Cuban spy number stations share transmitting facilities with the Radio Havana Cuba. And here's just a bit more evidence reported by Wolfgang Büschel. On June 23rd, he checked 11670 Radio Havana Cuba frequency and found a crash start at 2256.40. But there was a Spanish number lady transmission mistakenly here on this RHC unit for 2 minutes. Then Havana's Spanish music program started up at 22:58:15. Yes, something is always wrong at Radio Havana Cuba, and here's another major snafu I happened to catch, June 27th at midnight 20 UT on 6,000 kHz. The Spanish relay of China Radio International was on 6,000, the wrong frequency, instead of 5990, which was vacant. It was obviously China and not Cuba from the content, including a Chinese lesson. But that's not all. Also on 6,000 at the same time, underneath a much softer-sounding signal. I couldn't be sure whether it was in English or Spanish, but that would be Radio Havana Cuba itself from a different transmitter site. Two different programs at the same time on the same frequency. And they're not exactly the same. There was a subaudible heterodyne of 4.8 hertz between them, but rather pronounced, fading up and down. Self-interference. And another problem, Radio Progreso missing from 4765 around 01 UT. It's supposed to start at midnight 30. I found it absent both on June 21st and 27th. Mike Barakla forwards an item from disgraced Facebook on June 27th from World Music Radio in Denmark. For several weeks, there's been a problem with the aerial for 5840 kHz, meaning the power had to be reduced to 25 or 40 watts, and more recently after a lightning strike, it had been off the air during weekdays due to problems with the audio feed. But Stig Hartvig Nielsen says, today, everything has been fixed. Thanks to my good friend Klaus Nielsen, WMR is back on the air on 5840 with full power, 100 watts, and again, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And again, he says nothing about that other frequency, which had been active on weekends, 15805. Some North American DXers have been picking up the time signal station in Guayaquil, Ecuador, on 1510 kilohertz, such as Terry Kruger in Clearwater, Florida. He reports HCIO2 Instituto Oceanográfico de la Armada, June 23rd at 09:33. Thanks to tips from Mark Connolly in Massachusetts and David Crawford in Florida, it faded up briefly under the powerhouse signal from Nashville WLAC with a 1 kilohertz time signal pulses lasting 100 milliseconds each, heard in the AM double sideband mode. He could not hear any voice announcements during this brief peak, but otherwise it sounded like the station, which was once on shortwave HD2IOA 3810 and 7600. It supposedly operates between 01 and 1030 UT on 1510. He thinks they may have a new transmitter and or power, since it's seldom been reported until now. On the same frequency 1510, if you hear classical music, it's probably, as he reports, XEQI in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico, 0949 UT, June 23rd. On 5005, Radio Bata in Equatorial Guinea normally signs on at variable times between 05 and 06 UT, when we have a chance to hear it in North America, and its sign-off is rather early, making it hard to hear, especially in the summer in Europe, and impossible in North America. However, on June 26th, Manuel Mendez in Spain said it was on the air much later than usual, still going at 1943 UT in vernacular with comments and African songs and an ID as Radio Bata. The usual closing time, he says, is 1700 UT. At least on this date, it seems they just kept going all night. Eduard Korsakov in Moscow was hearing music on the frequency at 0202 to 0212 UT, June 27th. Alan Pennington in the British DS Club says he was also hearing it at 2300 UT when it did not sign off, and at 0110 the following UT day, June 27th. Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, reports on a couple of Eritrean clandestines both transmitted via MBR in Issoudun, France. There's Radio Sinit, S-I-N-I-T, Eritrea, heard on June 22nd. It's Saturday, only in Tigrinya at 05 to 06 on 11660. However, the following half hour had been scheduled in Arabic, but that was not on the air. Then there's Voice of Eritrean Lowlands at 17 to 1730 UT on 15390, which is in Arabic on Mondays and Saturdays, heard with a fair to good signal. Now filed under France Non, the new Radio for Peace International, via WRMI. It wasn't clear whether they were broadcasting weekly or monthly, but on UT Sunday, June 23rd, I heard them again at the same time as the week before, midnight UT, on 9395. They have a multilingual ID at the start, but then the program is all in French, and we wonder if they will ever get around to broadcasting in English via North America. However, I think it was a replay of the same program from the previous week, so maybe it is produced only monthly, but repeatedly aired weekly. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio 1988, a non-commercial program accompanied by our non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, and non-commercial publication, DX Listening Digest. Great thanks for financial support from David Cole, who's just moved from Oklahoma to Louisiana, and dropped by with a very generous contribution. One may also send a money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, or via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Via Alan Pennington, news of a special broadcast coming up from the Call Germany transmitter on 6030. It's called Eiffel Radiotage, Eiffel Radio Days, celebrating some anniversaries, which are explained in detail, and I don't have time to go through it, but it's the broadcast is all in German, apparently both days, between 06 and 16 UT. It seems that RN2 Radio Nikkei in Japan has changed its shortwave schedule. Ron Howard reports 3945, with sign-off announcements Monday to Thursday, saying, see you tomorrow. While on Friday, they say, see you next week. And indeed, it was observed off the air on the weekend. It was heard going off at 1230 UT, or about 1 second before 1231, Thursday and Friday, June 20th and 21st. That's from the Chiba Nagaro site. Wolfgang Büschel refers to the rest of their schedule. 6115 from the same site starts at 23 UT daily and ends at 1000, except on weekends at 0900. And from the other site, Nemuro, 6055 and 3925. June 21st at 1332, I was hearing Furusato Nakase, the clandestine for North Korea, about abductions on two 31-meter band frequencies. It seemed to be the same programming, but they were not synchronized in Japanese. That's because they're from two separate sites on Taiwan, according to listings in Aoki NDXC at 1330 to 1400. 9455 via Pao Chung and 9705 via Tam Shui. The format change at Border Blaster on 1090, XEPRS at Rosarito Beach, Baja California Norte has caught the attention of Steve McGreevy further north in Alta California. He says, I never thought I would have said this, but now that's super strong and really the only strong true nighttime DX Skywave service on medium wave here in the northern Mojave Desert. I've come to like about two-thirds of the English, UK, US pop mix with Spanish language pop music on 1090 XEPRS. The ERP this way is over 250 kilowatts. I actually really love this new night music format instead of sports talk. Actually, this originates with a station they are relaying from far away in the Rio Grande Valley, Ultra 104.9. Very listenable music, such as at 0611 UT, June 21st, a rap rendition of Killing Me Softly. Express also reported by Rick Barton in Arizona at 1045 UT, June 22nd, with 1980s pop rock, such as Walking on a Thin Line by Huey Lewis. A very distinctive sound on the AM band. Last week there was speculation that Antichrist Pirate YHWH would not be on the air Friday evening UT Saturday for obvious reasons, but he did show up the following UT Saturday, June 22nd, Walt Samaniv in British Columbia reports, this time on 7480, tuned in at 0319. He was being very sarcastic about all the wars caused by religion. He had just become very strong. It seems his signal level and modulation level vary quite a lot. It was a very extended broadcast, cut off the air in mid-sentence as late as 045450. Colonel Figrim in São Paulo, Brazil, reports on something strange from Paraguay on medium wave 1280. Since June 20th, we have heard a Christian hymns played on Andean flute on that frequency, the same music, repeating the content from the same CD over and over. It was also heard elsewhere in southeastern Brazil, southern Brazil, Buenos Aires, Santiago, Chile, and in Paraguay. The best signal was in Pedro Juan Caballero, so he phoned a personal friend who lives in Foz do Iguaçu, just across the border in Brazil, next to Ciudad del Este, and he confirmed that this flute is being broadcast from a station in Ciudad del Este, 1280 kilohertz. But no announcements, so what is it exactly? There is a station there listed in the current WRTH as ZP53, called La Voz del Este in Ciudad del Este, with 10 kilowatts day, 250 watts night, but it had a future plan to move to 1310. That's in Alto Paraná province. As I may have mentioned before, if you hear at least a carrier on 5020 over a night path, it's probably Solomon Islands. And I was hearing just such a barely audible carrier June 24th as early as 0602 UT. It does seem awfully early, but Haniara sunset would be just over an hour later at 0710, now at its earliest this time of year in the barely southern hemisphere, latitude 10 degrees south. So I wonder if they were also modulating. The WBCQ superstation is now reported to be running the full 500 kilowatts, according to Alan Wiener, on 9330 exactly. Mostly in the local late afternoons and evenings, sometimes well into the night, as I mentioned last week, but the programming is rather ad hoc. At times, it's been simulcasting what's on 7490. At other times, parallel to 5130. But a lot of the time, parallel to neither, but instead running rock music part of the time and playbacks of previous Alan Wiener Worldwide shows much of the rest of the time. However, as we learned too late, on Saturday, June 22nd, Larry Will inserted a special airing of World of Radio at 21:30 UT, but we do not expect that to repeat. However, during the previous hour, remember you have two chances to hear World of Radio on WRMI Saturdays at 20:30 on 15770 and at 2100 on 9955. Who knows, there could be further delays, but according to Alan Wiener Worldwide, June 21st, the target date now for World's Last Chance Ministries to take over programming of 9330 is Monday, July 8th. It'll be broadcasting to the Middle East, Europe, USA, and Canada only in Arabic and English, alternating. Thanks to Indiana Radio Watch via John Carver for a story from the Indianapolis Star, May 29th, headlined, Cousins Locked in Nasty Fight Over Legendary Hoosier Lester Sumrall's Religious Empire. Of course, to us, that means WHRI, although shortwave and that particular station are never mentioned in this long story. Harassment, fraud, a hidden will, trademark infringement, missing artifacts, atheism. They're all part of a wild tangle of allegations in a family fight quietly unfolding in northern Indiana over control of the international religious empire built by the late Lester Sumrall. The fiery Hoosier evangelist, who died in 1996, is widely regarded as the father of Christian television. The nasty legal dispute pits the pioneering televangelist's oldest grandson and namesake, Lester L. Sumrall, against another grandson, Andrew or Drew Sumrall, in a sort of modern-day twist on the Old Testament story of Cain and Abel. It's been going on for more than 3 years, mostly behind the scenes, in cases filed in state and federal courts. The organizations established under the umbrella of the Lester Sumrall Evangelistic Association, better known as LUSI, continue to operate a variety of ministries served by 2 radio and 6 television stations. They also generate millions in annual donations. Those help support church-based outreach, a bookstore, and World Harvest Bible College in South Bend. One court document filed by Lester L. Sumrall alleges more than $1 giga has flowed into the organization since his grandfather died 23 years ago. At the heart of the ongoing legal disputes is control of those funds. The two men fighting over the assets are sons of Lester F. Sumrall's sons, Frank Sumrall and the late Peter Sumrall. Lester L. claims to be the rightful spiritual and legal heir to that religious empire. A lawsuit filed last year in U.S. District Court for Northern District of Indiana alleges Frank Sumrall's son, Lester L., who is not affiliated with his grandfather's organization, is pursuing a false claim to be the rightful spiritual and legal heir. He is accused of engaging in a long pattern of abusive, harassing, and unlawful conduct against LaCie and his own family members. The lawsuit contends Lester L. Sumrall has interfered with LaCie's relationships with lenders and clients, falsely accused LaCie of financial fraud and criminal activity, sought injunctions and imposed improper liens against LaCie, and even attempted to interfere in the divorce proceedings of Andrew Sumrall. On the other side, Lester L. Sumrall alleges his cousin has strayed from the faith of their grandfather, deceived donors, and been involved in corporate malfeasance while overseeing LaCie. When he died, according to a succession timeline in the federal lawsuit, son Peter assumed control of LaCie Broadcasting. He also took over LaCie Inc. and LaCie Global after the resignation of his brother, Stephen. Peter died in 2015, which is when his son Andrew took over LaCie Broadcasting. Things came to a head in August when he changed his business's legal name from Lester Sumrall International Inc. to LaCie Broadcasting Corporation. The new name is strikingly similar to LaCie Broadcasting, the flagship of the ministry incorporated in 1966 by Lester F. The lawsuit alleges Lester L. swooped in to register the name and profit from any confusion after LaCie Broadcasting changed its name in June to Family Broadcasting Corporation in a move to expand its broadcast offerings. Well, there's a lot more to this convoluted story I don't have time to read, but it ends with, under the headline, Goodbye Planet Earth, the pioneering evangelist said he was leaving his legacy in good hands. quote, men who do not make provision for successors in business or ministry often leave behind problems that someone else has to clear up. Either that or they leave no business or ministry at all. I feel that God will give a smooth transition for my successors as I provided them with an organization that can expand and grow. Instead of a mess, I will leave behind a well-organized, expertly managed evangelic ministry. After reading all this, John Filiozzi remarks, it's a money empire, not a Christian or even religious one. If it were, no one would be fighting. For at least four nights in a row, I've been hearing a 50-kilowatt daytimer in the middle of the night. Around my bedtime 06:06 UT when I've been checking 1210 kilohertz. It's not KGYN in Guymon, although it provides some interference, I think, or WPHT in Philadelphia, but instead WJNL in Kingsley, Michigan, near Traverse City. On weeknights, the 0606 program is Beyond Reality Radio, and they are on the affiliate list for that particular program. And I also hear local announcements and IDs mentioning several other stations in the group. It's a 50-kilowatt non-directional daytimer failing to go off at night. Of course, since they're running around 06 UT, they're probably also running at all other times of the night. In June, FCC calculations show the sunset and sunrise times for WJNL are midnight 30 to 0900 UT, and July extended to 0915. Although in the original digital TV transition, most stations left the lower VHF band for high band or UHF. Now there are several coming back to low VHF channels 2 through 6 due to repacking. Available channels are getting harder and harder to find in many cities, and this means increased possibilities for digital TV sporadic EDX. Recently on the air is WTLW channel 4 in Lima, Ohio, originally channel 44. Its power is 10 kilowatts. I'm not sure if that's transmitter or ERP, so don't expect a signal to be as strong as we used to get in analog. Chris Lucas in Poughkeepsie has news of more new DTV skip targets. Stations just on the air or about to be WQED Channel 4, Pittsburgh, PA, by July 1st. WGGN 4 in Sandusky, Ohio, by August 2nd. WNYB Channel 5 in Jamestown, New York, has already been seen testing. WGBH 5 Boston by August 2nd. And there's some other stations which have already been operating on low band. Reviewing some of those, WHDF Channel 2 in Florence, Alabama, KZHO Channel 3 in Houston, Texas, KQRY Channel 5 in Fort Smith, Arkansas, just got a license granted May 31st. There's WJSP Channel 5 in Columbus, Georgia, not yet reported, WEXZ in Bangor, Maine, not reported yet. And one more which has been reported, WOUC Channel 6 in Cambridge, Ohio. And finally, a few other notes, WNYX Channel 5 in New York City is still silent. Some other stations have been or are increasing power. WDPN Channel 2 in Philadelphia, WACP 4 in Atlantic City, and WJLP Channel 3 in Middletown, New Jersey. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field expected to reach unsettled to isolated active levels July 6th, 10th, and 11th, but ANK indices no higher than 8 and 3, otherwise 5 and 2. Solar flux 67 except for a peak to 69 between July 2nd and 10th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1988 with a standard disclaimer.